What's the deal with like the milk and meat thing? Like my brother's not observant, just to put a background on this.
Fine, no problem.
I'm just putting a background on the question. So he says to me, like, what's the deal with the milk and meat thing? I say, well, because, you know, I guess, like, the cow and, like, the cow and cow's milk, okay, yeah, I mean, you know, beef and cow's milk, fantastic, makes sense. He has no problem with that.
Meat,
so, and then, but then he says, like, what about, let's say, you know, chicken and milk? He says, you know, what's the best? So I think, I said to him, I think it's something like might confuse, like, chicken with, like, beef and, like, you know, he'll start messing up. He says, like, what if it's, like, a drumstick? You know, like a drumstick. You look at a drumstick. There's no way you're going to confuse it.
The question is, if you have a drumstick, like chicken and a drumstick ice cream, then you might
get lots of fish. Whoa, deep thoughts, man. Deep thoughts.
You got to, you know.
One, please.
Did you get a piece?
No.
I didn't get it.
So he says, you know, Rabbi, do you want a piece?
I'll take later.
So he says, like, what about like a drumstick? And he says, furthermore, what about like you got like a soy burger, for example? I've had like soy burgers that taste exactly like meat. I mean, they taste exactly like meat. And everybody says, you know, there's like soy beef burger. Like you're not like you can put cheese on that, but you can't put cheese on a chicken drumstick. You know, what's more than I could be confused, and I've never really been able to answer him well with that.
Okay. So let's think back to what we discussed before. We said that the rabbis made institutions, and those institutions might have had a driving cause, but at the end of the day, they were still part of a legal system. And therefore, they encompassed certain things, and they did not encompass other things. Now, if the question is that not... Let's assume. We're going to take this as an assumption, because we're not going into all the aspects of that institution. But we're going to assume for now, and again, stressing this is an assumption, that the reason our sages forbade chicken meat with milk is that one might confuse it with other meat. I'm going with that assumption. I didn't agree with it. Let's assume that was the reason. It's understandable that if one might confuse most of the meat, that even though there will be instances where you say this is inconfusible, you have a whole turkey here, everyone knows that's a chicken, we would still consider it that even though there will be instances where the reasoning isn't applicable, but because it was a legal institution, so the legal institution still applies. As for his claim, well, then you should say it about soy burgers or soy dogs. Well, our sages, again, because they instituted their institutions with specific terminology, so it had a specific thing that it encompassed. You'll say, well, maybe the rabbis today should institute such a prohibition. Well, so that we have to discuss. That's part of our intro to Talmud class. Can rabbis today really make rabbinic prohibitions? Do they have that power still? And if so, then what power and what can it encompass? That's a separate question. But why this is not encompassed by the original institution, that's clear. It wasn't around then. And it doesn't fit into the criterion that they set up for their legal institution to encompass. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another question.
Sure. On the same topic?
Sort of.
Okay.
Regarding like ketniot, the thing that's always seeming to me about ketniot is like, okay, I can understand if you wanted to, for example, forbid like making, let's say, lentil bread or corn bread or bean bread or whatever. It makes complete sense because, you know, you eat like this piece of corn bread and, you know, I can see how you can get confused. But then you have things like...
You're assuming the reason was because they get confused.
Well, that's one reason I read that it was. And another reason I read was that you might have wheat mixed in it. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just talking about the confusion part. So it's like, okay, you know, so you might confuse, you know, your cornbread. Okay, that makes sense. But what about, like, you throw enough, like, you know, I don't know how my mom makes it, but, like, you make, like, the fluffy wheat bread that's somehow coached for Pesach. I don't know how moms do it. You know, it's fluffy, and, you know, it's like that. It's like bread, but it's on Pesach. And, you know, it's like, you know, okay. So
your question is, why didn't they make a rabbinic institution to prohibit other things?
Like that's one thing that confuses me. And the other thing is, like, okay, so you might have, like, wheat grains mixed in with your lentils. Okay. But, like, you're eating matzah, that's pure wheat. So it's like the stringency on not eating lentils is stricter than on matzah. Like, you can eat wheat, you just have to cook it in a certain way and be really careful. feels like you can't eat lentils or beans or at all. Like, you can't eat it whatsoever. Like, you can't eat, like, a jar of peanut oil.
So that, everything you said is based on a lot of assumptions, which we have to discuss. Meaning, you're assuming I'm allowed to boil a kernel of wheat. You're assuming I'm allowed to eat flour. You're assuming I'm allowed to eat wheat derivatives.
I know you can't. What I mean is, like, if you take the wheat and you mix it with the water within 18 minutes, you bake it and all that, you can eat it. But it's like, you can't eat baked beans at all, whatsoever. It's like, none whatsoever. And it's like, you can eat wheat.
So let's just quantify the question. So then what?
So, like, why? It almost seems like the kitniot is stricter than the chametz.
So first of all, sometimes rabbinic decrees are stricter than biblical decrees, biblical laws, because people respect what the Bible says. And our rabbis sometimes had to be more stringent with their own matters because they knew people would have a tendency to treat them lightly. So sometimes it's true. Sometimes we are more stringent with rabbinic issues.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, to say that it's that you're allowed to eat flour mixed with water, assuming that it was made matzah, so that specific example, we have a rule that anything that the Torah explicitly permits, the rabbis cannot prohibit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Torah explicitly commands us to eat matzah.
Mm-hmm.
So the rabbis, even if they wanted to, could not prohibit that.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that. But
I'm not saying it has to be prohibited, but I'm saying it's like wheat is permitted. I mean, even though, like, chametz is the entire problem on Pesach, I mean, you can still eat wheat. It doesn't, like, wholesale prohibit wheat. It just very severely circumscribes how you can eat the wheat. And yet, rather than, like, severely circumscribing how you can eat lentils or beans, it just, like, totally prohibits it. And it doesn't.
Right, well, that's understandable. Let's assume that the reason it's forbidden is because mixed in their lentils they had wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're going to do with that, with those lentils, even cooking could potentially make it into chametz. So I have to forbid you from doing things with those lentils or whatever beans, kitniot. On the other hand, wheat, when I have flour, I know that the second water touches that flour, it might be chametz. I'll be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
When I take beans, I think I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I obviously have to be more careful with the beans where I don't know there's a potential hazard than with the wheat where I know that that's going to be chametz in 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So why can't you do, I know, like, safari with rice, just, like, check it and make sure that it's not wheat. Why can't, like, let's say you do that with, like...
That's a different question. Why didn't our sages institute it differently? So we have to know what was going on in those times to understand why they couldn't have made a different institution. Whatever I'll say is a guess. I don't know the facts. Like, I don't know historically why they couldn't make a different institution. I don't know. Yeah.
And recently, on Pesach, there's a big baking of bread and cake, and they just don't mix a flavor and water, but they mix flavor and milk and flavor and juice and wine and stuff like this and bake that. I don't know if that is kosher in Pesach.
Obviously, if the rabbis there say it is, then it is. It depends which rabbi you ask and how much water is mixed into the juice and how much water is mixed into the grape juice and how much water is mixed into the milk. But when you mix flour with milk, then, well, flour needs water ordinarily to become chametz. We do say that juices, according to some opinions, and Ashkenazim go that way, juices can cause chametz, something to be chametz, and not only can cause to be chametz, but you might not even have 18 minutes. Could be they cause it quicker than water. Here in Israel, big machlokas also, a lot of Sephardim also. You can see the markets sell cookies with Rav Avadya's hechsher that are really made with juice or milk or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Ari, you want something?
Oh, it's
fine. Huh? No. Okay.